fasten your seatbelts and assume the brace position. It is about to get bumpy. Talking airfares this morning. My name is Lara Stimson. I'm 105.7 ABC Radio Darwin, which is right across the top end. Why is it so expensive to fly? And is there any hope for a cheap seat for you in the future? Max Najar is from Axis Travel. He's been a travel agent for 47 years, is based in Adelaide. Good morning to you, Max.
Good morning. How are you?
Why is it cheap? I'm well, thank you. Why is it cheaper to fly to Bali than just down the road in the Northern Territory?
Airline monopoly, second word, they're ripping off the consumers.
It's a few more words than just one or two, but I like it. Elaborate for me, please, Max.
Yeah. Look, the problem is that, of course, it's the population density, the lack of airports, airline competition there, and that's what they base it upon. The monopolies with the airlines, as you know, three or four domestic airlines within Darwin. And just something, look, even in Adelaide, we're based in Adelaide, we do a lot of people going up to Darwin and Alice Springs and the regional areas. Some of the flight fares that you've mentioned to me are correct. In fact, they're a little bit worse than what you might imagine. For example, from Darwin to Adelaide, it's just as a simple example, it's $1,200 one way by Qantas. But if you're really, really rich, you can go business class one way for $2,800 one way. I can get you a ticket to London a little bit cheaper. And then you think Darwin to Katherine, very popular, $480. Darwin to Denpasar, $300 in Indonesia. Or how about Darwin through to Singapore for about $350 Australian? So it is a bit of a take. Look, the federal government's got the ACCC, as you know, set up. But the ACCC in Australia doesn't really have much power over these airlines. They're not doing very much. They've got a lot of teeth, but they don't use them. We've had a lot of industry problems with the travel industry with the ACCC where you tell them what to do and what's happening, and they don't really react. I think they're just understaffed or they really don't care. I think that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And with the aviation industry, as you probably already know, the aviation industry, they're doing an inquiry into the airports because it goes opposite to what you might think. The airports are now charging the airlines or wishing to charge the airlines a lot more in landing fees, security charges, passing through and so forth. And they're going to pass it on to the consumers. That's going to probably happen. And that's a major, major problem. The ACCC, again, cannot get involved with what the airports are charging. So although you're saying to me it's expensive. Well, because they're going to improve the airports right across Australia. They're putting something like it's about $40 billion or $44 billion. The airports across Australia are going to invest on their infrastructure. And in doing so, they're going to ask that money to come back from the consumers. So it's sort of adding to what you've just said to me about expensive airfares. I don't think they're going to be reduced in price much. I think there's going to be another increase this year, fairly substantial increase towards the end of the year. Because if the airports, the people who own the airports, if they're going to start charging consumers more, that's where it's going to come from, the airfares. And the travel agents have got no say in this matter, and that's what's going to happen. So it's going to be probably worse than what we're saying now, which is January 2026. I think it's going to get a little bit worse.
Max Najar is from Axis Travel. He's been a travel agent for 47 years. He's based in Adelaide. My name is Lara Stimson on 105.7 ABC Radio Darwin. And it's so interesting that you say that because now I think of it, Max. I went through a few different airports over the month of December and every single one of them was undergoing major renovation. So the airports hold a lot of power here. When you say, yes. This is obviously landing fees, right, as a part of this. They charge airlines to land and to use their airport space. How much is that costing the airlines? And then how much is that transferring, because we hear about this in the Territory, how much is that transferring to the consumer, the flyer, the traveller?
It's interesting. It's a very good question. We've actually have done that to report to the ACCC and the airlines individually. They won't reveal the stats. They won't reveal how much they're paying to the airport authorities. And it is not just landing rights. It's security. It's having a lounge in the airport. They have to pay a very high fee to have the lounge in the airports for the consumers to use. So there's about 9 or 10 different layers that the airports are charging the airlines. And that's fair and that's reasonable. But they've actually got their own idea of how much they're going to charge the airlines now for now when they improve the airports, how much we're going to charge. And there's no control over that. They don't even the ACCC can't get involved. And there's something else that I think is really important from a consumer's point of view. When you go to the airlines or you go to the travel agency, you would expect them to be, or there to be right now, an airline ombudsman, would you not? Well, there isn't any. And they said about 6 or 7 years ago, both governments, Liberal and Labor, we're going to have an airline ombudsman that's going to be right there for you to help you against the airlines, domestic airlines. It hasn't come through. It's still sitting on the bench somewhere in Canberra. And we need that, because you're complaining, I'm complaining, but you can complain to the ACCC. They're pretty well a toothless tiger is what I call them. They're not doing very much at all with this. They don't do much with the petrol stations neither. And they really got to get off their backsides and do things, because we as taxpayers pay for their salaries, but they're really not doing much. So we need an airline ombudsman, because we get complaints weekly against airlines, international and domestic, as a travel agent, and there's no one to go to.
Which is funny, because during COVID times, there was just such furor and collective anger about airlines, because there was all the cancellations. They got rid of a bunch of different staff. And then, when everyone tried to go traveling again, it was a completely broken system. But in normal times, which I would say, define normal, right? But relatively stable times where there's not a global pandemic taking place, there is a level of, you get complaints, and we're all so personally frustrated by airlines, but then there's almost just this grace that we give them, because we still got to fly, right? So how do we, in terms of actually changing this and being a government, if the government wants to be the one that gets on top of this issue, how do you concretely change this, get the airlines on board and kind of cut through this like weird grace that often gets given? Intense to hear Max say before that he thinks that the price of flights is actually going to go up significantly by the end of the year. So this is a problem that will only get worse. Max, I've got you back. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. What can be concretely done from a government's perspective? Is it establishing an ombudsman? Can they actually even force airlines, force airports to drive this cost down without, dare I say it, some kind of subsidy?
Yes, look, they can actually do it. If you have a strong ombudsman, which they do have in Europe and the United States, which is also backed by their federal governments, by the way, which is great. Yes, if they've got the teeth and they've got the ability to fine airlines to make sure the fine is substantial, not $100,000, we're talking $500,000, $1 million. Yes, if they've got teeth and they follow it through and they've got the right people on the legal side, yes, they can do that. And working in harmony with ATIA, the Australian Travel Industry Association, which was formerly known as AFTA, the Australian Federation of Travel Agents. Yes, if they work in harmony with the people who are on ground level, travel agents, you know what I mean, consumers, they can actually get things and change things and make sure the airlines pay for it. And I'll go one step further. I think it's also important, not only for airline staff, but also government officials, they should become personally liable for the wrong things that they do that's been nice. And they should not just say, oh, you're a naughty boy or naughty girl, you shouldn't do this. They should be fined, and they should also be fined not only, and also they should have to be retrained or sacked. I'm very strong on this, because we have so many episodes. Yeah, we have so many episodes. I've been doing it for 47 years plus that, you get consumers and you know that the consumer is absolutely right, but the airline sends you a little letter with a $10 voucher. No, not good enough. They should be fined. That's the airline, the commercial division. And also the person who's told them the lies or the fibs or try to cover things, they should be either retrained or sacked. I'm very strong on this because we've
had 47 years of experience talking, isn't it? Max Najjar is from Axis Travel, and that is how long he has been a travel agent for, based in Adelaide. So this aviation inquiry, there's 1 week left to make submissions. People will no doubt make lots of submissions, perhaps even yourself, I'm not sure, this morning. But in terms of an action for change, establishing an ombudsman, something else that the government should do as a result of this inquiry that would actually have a material impact on territory travellers.
I would say definitely write to your local member of parliament. Do write a letter, even if you don't get a good, decent reply, to the ACCC. Write to the airlines first. So the airlines first, if you don't get a result or you get a generic reply, don't accept it, go to the ACCC and then go further to the local MP and keep on pushing the envelope, because the only way they're going to change these rules is with consumers basically saying, we're really upset about this, let's do something about it. And as a travel agency, that's what we do. We get letters from our clients and we immediately send those letters, if they're substantial and valid, we send them onwards as we do. And the amount of replies we get are really pretty negative, or they're not really very strong at at all. And one thing, it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing. I'm going to throw this past you as well. A lot of the clients that we do doing regional travel are government officials or a fairly nice corporates, and they can afford the airfares. Local consumers cannot. So because the federal politicians and the state politicians get subsidised or free air travel, and normally it's business class, I guess they don't really care too much.
You know, it's a different deal when you've got a federal minister flying in business class than the average citizen, right? Max, we're going to have to leave it there this morning, but thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
That's Max Najjar there telling you to be the change you want to see in the world. You can submit to this inquiry, search online. The inquiry is called State of Australia.